AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Brett, so the... We might be a little bit late here on the Facebook stuff.
Setting it up. I don't know if you knew this, but there actually is another Progressive Citizen X in Denmark, as I'm trying to tag your page.
Really?
Yes.
Denmark.
Denmark, of all places.
God. What the hell?
Danish.
That's Danish. I like my women like my breakfast. Danish. No, I does that. There you go. There's a guy. Are we sure it's not a Russian that's using that as like a staging area?
I'll take it again and see what it is. Yes.
So, all righty. 952-946. Is that where all of our feeds are going? Are we going to Denmark? That would explain why my following list has gotten so weird.
He's only got 142 likes.
Okay. That would could still be me.
Come on, you're like at 7,000.
Yeah, close to 7,000. I'm very grateful for everyone that follows me on Facebook. You know, I've seen myself. I'm not a fan. Anyway, no. I want to start off with. Did you see this morning in International Falls? It was 37 degrees. It's the lowest low temperature in July history in International Falls.
37?
It was 37.
Even up there. Wow.
It was like 58. I walked out the door this morning. I thought it was delightful. It was a nice crisp. It wasn't even crisp. I thought it was 58 degrees. It was a little, the humidity was down. It was nice.
Even last night when I was outside, it was like, this is perfect weather.
This is very nice. Yeah. It, 37 is getting a little chilly. And I already, I know you're going to get anti-climate change guy going, where's the climate change now, Matt, huh? 37 degrees. First of all, if you really want to go with the total, with 3 or 4 weeks this entire year, we've been colder than we've usually been. That doesn't offset 50 years of being warm. And it sure as heck doesn't offset stuff like that one day in April a few years back where we got 100 degrees out of the blue.
I specifically remember that day, yeah.
Holy, what in the world was that?
That was a really cold spring as well.
And just all of a sudden it was 75, 102, then 89. And you're like, everyone's like, there's no problem. You just don't like warm weather, Matt. In April? On one day? That didn't make any sense. I will say, if you ever looked at a map of where England is compared to where Minnesota is on a map, England is much further north than us. As a matter of fact, most of England, I think only the very lower part of Leeds, the very southern part of Cornwall. Is that the southwest is Cornwall? I think that is. Only the very southern part of that actually touches, would be kind of on the same line as northern Minnesota. And northern Minnesota, it is way up there. I mean, Ireland is basically on the southern side of Hudson Bay. That's how up further north they are. They're having 100-plus degrees in England at the same time as we're having 37 in Minnesota south of them. None of this makes any sense at this point. None of this makes any sense. And the saddest part is the reality. I've just come to grips with that at some point here in my life, we are going to have a major crop failure. That crops are going to fail on a astronomical level worldwide. We're going to have people going hungry. We're going to have people starving in the streets. And then all of a sudden, the same people are, where's your climate change now? Are going to be the same people going, I still don't understand why no one was addressing this problem for years. Yeah, I see you. I do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We broadcasting in Denmark right now.
We are up, yeah. I did not tag that guy's page. You should really look him up. I have no idea what's there.
It probably makes more sense than most Republican pages, so I'm okay with that. Crime update here. Not my crimes, but we have to give updates on some of these stories. First of all, a Minnesota man will serve more than 3 years in prison. This is the guy that faked his death. Remember this? He faked his own death 8 years ago in Eastern Europe to collect a $2 million life insurance policy. 55-year-old Igor Vorontinov, formerly of Maple Grove, was sentenced to mail fraud Monday in U.S. District Court. Authorities allege that Vorontinov in 2011 arranged for a corpse. Where do you find something like that? Is that something you can just mail order? honey, there's a large package that sure stinks out on the front porch.
Amazon might deliver that.
They got everything, don't they? I mean, they really do. They arrange for a corpse to be dressed in his clothes and planted his identification on the body before placing it along a road in the former Soviet Republic of Moldova. Okay, I've seen enough bad movies. You didn't set the body on fire? Come on, that's how you get away with it. That's how the crime is committed. You just chucked him on the side. Maybe that's just Eastern Europe. I wouldn't be surprised if that was Eastern Europe. I've been to some of the Europe. The further east you go, the little less rulesy they get. As such as, hey, did you pick up your corpse? No. Okay, well, just shovel it to the side of the road. And look, there's some cans down here we can get money back for. An insurance company sent his ex-wife a $2 million check in 2012. The scheme also included a 2011 funeral service at Minneapolis Cemetery, where an urn was placed in a niche. Tests later determined the remains were not Vorotinov's. It's not clear whose they were. So you got ashes there. You got a body over there. Are we, Murder, She Wrote. Are you sure that this guy is not, like, guilty of a crime or two on that level? I would be a little, I would want, kind of demand to know, okay, whose ashes are these? They're human, but they're not your husband's. Whose are they? You need to know, or else maybe you charge them with a murder. Also, I should mention that this story too, and this is getting ugly. There's one particular point, and I'll stop here when I get to it, which I just really want to hammer on how wrong this is. Earlier this month, everyday bustle in North Minneapolis came to a screeching stop after a van plowed into a bus shelter on Broadway in Lyndale. The impact left the shelter twisted husk and injured six people, including several of them critically. Metro Transit police got to the scene quickly, and a spokesperson, Howard Padilla, summarized the events leading up to the crash. The van had been driving south when it pinged a mirror on the Metro Transit bus in Lyndale. Then it backed up, hit the mirror a second time, veered right. The van then, for whatever reason, smashed into the shelter. There were murmurs in the gathering crowd, captured in the moment on several cell phone videos taken by witnesses about the nature of the crash. There were rumblings of it being not only intentional, but a hate crime. The people who had been in the bus shelter when it got hit were predominantly black, and the driver was white. The said driver turned out to be an 83-year-old man from Champlin named George Jessen. Police took him in after the crash, but he was released the same afternoon pending further investigation. The Star Tribune later reported the police hadn't performed a field sobriety test or charged him with anything. How in the hell did you? I mean, come on. This is the part where I want to stop. Come on. There is no way in hell that if an African-American man or a Latino man or a Native American man or any minority in this city would have crashed into a bus shelter in a car and you wouldn't have immediately pulled out the field sobriety test. There is no way on the freaking planet that would... No, there's no way on the planet that the Minneapolis police would not have immediately held some guy down and drawn blood to get a proper identification on any drugs that could have been in the system, for God's sakes. But this guy, white guy from Champlin, 83 years old, they drink too. They're over the legal age. I am so damn tired of this unbelievable double standard, which we see when it comes to law enforcement. And there is no chance on the planet that an 83-year-old African-American man wouldn't have immediately been breathalyzed at the scene by police. And they probably would not have been released until they determined whether they were going to charge him with a crime. So he could have been sitting in jail for weeks until they get to the bottom of what happened. God. The driver gave investigators no indication that it was an intentional act. Well, okay. So sometimes you do get that. Like the guy that shot up the garlic festival out there, I mean, he clearly was a far-right racist, inspired by far-right extremism, and he left a trail. Sometimes these guys don't. But he pinky swore, so I guess there's nothing to see here. He pinky swore that he wasn't nefarious. At a news conference held late in the week, members of the Racial Justice Network in Black Lives Matter Twin Cities called on police to do their job and get justice for the six people who got hit. Jensen's lawyer maintained the crash was an accident. Now a Metro Transit police investigator is claiming surveillance contradicts what Jensen says happened. According to the Tribune, investigator Paul Bozicki says Jensen claimed he mistook the accelerator for the brake, which caused the crash. But a search warrant affidavit filed this week, Bozicki said the video showed the van traveling west at a very slow rate of speed with its brake lights on before suddenly zipping ahead and careening towards the shelter, seemingly indicating Jensen had his foot on the brake in the first place. Bozicki wrote that Jensen appeared to be piloting a 2002 Ford in a grossly negligent manner. It's not on Metro Transit any longer to decide whether Jensen should be charged. Last Friday, police turned the investigation over to Hennepin County Attorney. You know, the guy could have just been, I'll be honest. It could just have been a very old individual who should not have been behind the wheel of a car because his age has basically taken away some of the capacities for driving. That is a very legitimate option here. But you still, you don't, at this point, regardless, your best case scenario is he accidentally hit the bus shelter. At what point do you think that he's clear and sober and all straight and narrow to where he can give you a full explanation of what happened? That's your best case scenario, that he got confused and he hit the wrong thing. So then at that point, how in the hell are you taking anything this guy says as verbatim word? That's your best case scenario. Worst case scenario, the guy tried to hit the bus shelter. I mean, have we looked at what he's watching 24/7, 365? Have we seen if is he online? And what websites he's going to? Do we know if he's been expressing kind of these hate-filled mantras? Do we know? Your best case scenario is that this guy was disoriented. At that point, you have to give him the field sobriety test. At that point, anything he says as to what really happened should be taken with a grain of salt because he couldn't figure out the long, wide one versus the short, fat one on the pedals. Very legitimately, he could have just been aged out of driving. But at that point, you cannot take anything this guy says as verbatim.
And you can learn that pretty quickly if the guy is just old and confused and doesn't know what he's doing, doesn't know where he is.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Still give him the field sobriety test. And you still say to yourself, well, you know, does he even know where he's at right now? Does he even have any idea? Oh, he's now back? Oh, okay. One final thing before I get into the first break here. I want to just give a salute out to California. I am still of the mindset that Trump might not run for office if he is forced to show his tax returns before the election of 2020. California has a brand new law signed into legality by the governor, Gavin Newsom. The law states that forced President Trump to give in to longstanding demands that he release his tax returns. As one of the largest economies in the world and home to one of nine Americans eligible to vote, California has a special responsibility to require this information of a president and gubernatorial candidates. These are extraordinary times, and states have a legal and moral duty to do everything in their power to ensure leaders seeking the highest office meet the minimal standards and to restore public confidence. Newsom's decision just comes weeks after the California legislature overwhelmingly approved the measure, which requires all presidential and gubernatorial candidates to release their tax returns in order to appear on the primary ballot. That is incredibly smart to do it that way, because to get on you have to win a primary to be the representative of that party on the state ballot. If you were to put it on the federal ballot, the federal government can say the state has no right to dictate the federal ballot. But they're not doing that. They're saying it's the primary ballot is the one that you have to prove it for, which the state has control over. That is your Secretary of State, like in Minnesota, Steve Simon. He controls a lot of what goes on during a primary vote or puts all the ducks in a row for the federal elections. But it's the primary vote where this is, and you can't be on the Republican ticket if you don't sign up for the Republican primary, even though he might not be competing with anyone, but Bill Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, is campaigning against him. Plus, there's probably at least six or seven Republicans we have no idea who they are that are running. I guarantee you one or two are in California. He's going to have to put his name on a ballot. And I think with this, my honest feeling is that Trump, at some point in the next few months, will ask himself the question, do I really need to show my taxes? And if I do, I don't, then I just step aside. And by the way, if he decides not to run for 2020, you should be terrified of what those taxes actually show. Everyone should be terrified of what those taxes actually do show if he decides to, because this would be a megalomaniac, the grandest narcissist I have ever seen in my entire life, demanding to turn the spotlight off because he doesn't want people to see his taxes. That should tell you something right now. There, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. Fresh at the market now, cherry tomatoes, cauliflower, broccoli, cucumbers, zucchini, beets, carrots, and even some new baby potatoes. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesday at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
Primary season is upon us, and tonight and tomorrow mark the second Democratic presidential debates. We'll have live coverage here on AM 950 beginning at about 7 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to the entire debates and hear from all of the candidates. Again, the second Democratic presidential primary debates are taking place tonight and tomorrow, and you can listen at 7 p.m. here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Why would he even care? Lori actually asking the question, why would he even care about California? First of all, that's a heck of a lot of primary votes. And if Bill Weld takes that state independently, Bill Weld is not going to then go away. Now, I don't know when the Republican primary for California is.
It's pretty early this year. Is like it the third or fourth? They moved it up, yeah.
Yeah, is it the Super Tuesday, the first Super Tuesday they have?
No, it's earlier. I think it's right after, like, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina.
Right in there.
Yeah, they moved it way up this year.
Well!
That's why candidates are actually campaigning there. It's early.
Well, if all of a sudden Bill Weld goes there and takes, I don't know how the numbers will break down for the Republicans as far as primary votes per state, but California's a big chunk of change. You need to win that, and all of a sudden Bill Weld then becomes a guy with a lot of votes on his tally. And if you're Trump, the question you have to ask yourself is, in Massachusetts and in New Hampshire and in Virginia and in Minnesota, do you really want to take the chance that Bill Weld could end up turning this into a much closer race than it really is? And the reality is I think that he gets to a point where he doesn't, I don't know. I don't think it's nearly as, I'm just going to write it off. I think that there are some complications with that. That's for sure. Chris is in Chanhassen, and he wanted to chime in on the bus crash story that we had. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Matt. I just wanted to make two comments. Last week you were talking about the millionaire who cheated the food stamp thing.
Understand?
What I was trying to say was that there's a rapper who did that. The news media was out there going, I can't believe he did that. And I was trying to say that, yeah, he should be prosecuted. And the point I wanted to make.
And he was. And by the way,
and
Chris, before you go any further, and he was. They immediately checked in on him, and they immediately prosecuted him. They have done nothing to investigate Undersander outside of use Undersander as a prop for the Republicans.
Exactly, and they should investigate Undersander. And what I wanted to say about the bus crash incidents, I was talking to somebody I work with now. I wasn't there, but this is a story I heard from her. She said that the guy circled around the block like two or three times before he did the crash. That's what I heard.
Well, I mean,
That's all I'm saying.
Well, and Chris, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. I will say this. If that is the case, they're going to have some video footage somewhere. There's too many cameras around nowadays where they're going to have that. And, you know, I just, like I said, your best case scenario was this guy was confused and lost and shouldn't have been behind the wheel of the car. Why you don't give him a breathalyzer, why you take his story as verbatim, I don't know. The worst case scenario was it was intentional because of minorities being there. 952-946-6205. Quickly, I wanted to revisit the story from the end of the show because I want to make sure everyone understands. We have, once again, another organization that's like ALEC. It doesn't have, it's not anyone, we're not electing these people there, but they're basically, we have enough Republicans who are betrothed to this organization. The organization is Project Blitz is the name. And it basically, you find out Project Blitz had something to do with this war against the Minnesota Historical Society. And I'm going to reread this story. I reread this yesterday, but I want to make sure people understand this. These are historic facts they are trying to change because this version of Christianity, which is highly influenced by men who live on the planet at this time, ignoring large portions of the Bible that they don't agree with. Ta-da! That's what at least it seems like to me. Early this year, Minnesota State Senator John Marty was perplexed during a committee hearing. State Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, the Republican chair of the Senate State Government Finance Committee, had proposed a $4 million cut to the budget for the Minnesota Historical Society. That might have resulted in significant layoffs around the state. Now, I should remind her that Mary Kiffmeyer was one of those politicians who is betrothed to ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. This was another outside of the state organization where they'd fly you to these junkets and all you had to do was basically forfeit your right to represent your citizens and push legislation that ALEC wanted you to do onto your citizens. And it was so bad that ALEC, I mean, they were caught numerous times across the country. Actually, politicians would submit legislation that had the wrong state written in there. I mean, it basically was a Mad Libs for legislation, and Mary Kiffmeyer was part of that group. Well, it seems like she's once again sacrificed her desire to lead her constituents. Asked by a Democratic senator why she proposed such a steep cut, Kiffmeyer said it was because of controversy, though she refused to say what the controversy consisted of. Marty followed up on his colleague's questioning, wondering aloud what if it even meant to have a secret controversy. Then one of Kiffmeyer's Republican colleagues stepped in to explain that it was about what the cut called revisionist history at the 200-year-old historic Fort Snelling. There had been a flap over the historic site had expanded its educational mission beyond the fort's military history to include the Dakota name for the area, Bedote, with history spanning 10,000 years, including Native peoples, trade, soldiers, and veterans. And by the way, is there anything more white Caucasian Republican today than accusing people of recognizing the 10,000-year-old name for an area that was created by the Native Americans as doing revisionist history because they don't want, because how dare they acknowledge there was a name for the place before white people got there? Seriously, is there anything that's, you know, more white privilege than that? I don't know. Some Republican legislatures didn't like it. While the cut passed the Senate, it was ultimately blocked in a budget negotiations with the House. Now it turns out Fort Snelling was not the only controversy on Kiffmeyer's mind. In December of 2018, Kiffmeyer, along with 25 members of the Minnesota Legislative Prayer Caucus, the state action arm of Project Blitz, had written the nonprofit Minnesota Historical Society objecting to a talk scheduled in March 2019 by distinguished scholar, law professor Stephen Green, and the theme of his 2015 book, Inventing a Christian America, The Myth of Religious Founding, which, by the way, is completely a myth. The founding fathers did not want a state religion. They did not want one religion to rule over all. George Washington himself And, you know, Thomas Jefferson did go on out and explore other religions to try to show people that this was not about forcing Christianity. And reminder, the entire concept of America was people fleeing religious persecution. I mean, it, you know, I mean, and don't get me wrong, the Puritans, who doesn't love a buckle hat? But, you know, the concept is there was never this idea. This is a modern idea of opportunists trying to force their religion on others. That's all that is. The Republicans claim that the society was promoting a narrative about our nation's history and founding that is patently false, and that it would be prudent for the society to cancel Professor Green's presentation, or better yet, allow us as a Christian legislature in Minnesota debate this issue with Professor Green. Green later recounted the episode in Church and State magazine, noting the caucus objected to my upcoming lectures, calling my book biased and one-sided, though admitting they had not read it. It's biased! Have you read it? No! I have no idea what's in the book, but you don't like the title of it. And that's really, isn't that what it is? We don't like the title! Heaven forbid the facts get in the way, Republicans. Heaven forbid. Minnesota Historical Society Director Kent Whitworth replied that Green was a respected scholar, detailing how that was so, and would welcome respectful questions and dialogue. But that wasn't good enough for the Republicans. Although the Prayer Caucus reiterated their demand in another letter, the program proceeded as planned. Afterwards, Prayer Caucus State Director Reverend Dale Witherington, along with several caucus members, wrote again. Now, once again, this is a non-politician writing on behalf of politicians to a state agency that gets state taxpayer dollars. What are you guys doing? Reverend Dale Witherington, along with several caucus members, wrote again, this time demanding that the society schedule someone who represented their point of view, which they had been casting as the truth, to speak or debate before we begin reviews of budgetary requests for the Minnesota Historical Society. So a non-politician who runs a prayer group over at the Capitol basically is writing letters, pseudo-threatening, not-so-veiled threats, to the Minnesota Historical Society that your budget is not going to get approved unless you put in people that just basically that are not historically accurate, but just ape our talking points. And boy, I know how you guys on the Christian right love when I use the word ape. Anyway, that is who you people are. Wow. Talk about, you know, are you waiting in the golf cart to give the reverend a drive back to his car? My God. Witherington wrote that we are here to encourage prayer and defend our religious freedom, which are perfectly fine. Matter of fact, stop right now. Reverend, you can pray right now. Go. Done? All right, good. All right. You can pray again right now. Go ahead. Anyone else wants to pray, go right ahead. Or if you don't want to pray, you do or don't do whatever it is that you do or don't want to do. But going to give you some time right now. Nothing's stopping you. See the wildfire, fired the general manager? Yeah. I'm a new general manager now for the wild.
After 1 year.
1 year, man, yeah. Done with the prayers? Oh, hope you included the wild in that prayer. Anyway, so there you go. Freedom of prayer still intact. What a crazy world, huh? Senator Mighty, who's a Democrat member of the Finance Committee, that thought it was odd and concerning that the letter came from Witherington, the minister who is director of the Prayer Caucus, he told RD. It's not a member of the legislature, is not a state employee, and should have no control of the state budget over the Historical Society. The secret controversy, then, is actually that the Minnesota Legislative Prayer Caucus made good on their veiled threat that they would axe the budget unless the Historical Society acceded to their demand to command the program, that the effort to punish the Historical Society in this way failed, should it not obscure the fact that they had tried. And it should be noted that if not for the House, they would have cut the Minnesota Historical Society budget and fired a tremendous amount of people because they weren't able to stop history from being factually dictated, and they weren't able to wipe out history and put their own version of history into place as official fact. And they were doing this not as legislators, but as caddies, carrying the clubs for someone who wasn't a politician who was making the demands. You're a Republican Party, people. Speaking of which, we've got two new contenders. Well, one's a pseudo-contender, but I think we can call Jason Lewis running for Senate at this point. I'll explain why in just a moment. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, prayer time. Go ahead. Go. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
Does your vehicle need some summertime service? Well, head over to Rudy Luther Toyota. The last thing you need is to break down, especially when you're trying to enjoy the summer. Regardless of where you've purchased your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is your number one destination for auto service and repair. A larger repair or just routine maintenance. Easily schedule up your appointment on their website, RudyLutherToyota.com. Drop-off is a breeze. Their waiting area is top-notch, and they do the job right. Get your vehicle serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Racial tension is popping up in unexpected places, but it doesn't have to be that way. Maybe we can reduce the awkwardness and the tension. What can we do? Join us at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska on Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. for a one-hour talk with Jamila Anderson, a nationwide diversity trainer and teacher. Her presentation, Empathy and Equity, provides valuable tools for those who want to de-escalate the tension in any conversation, like in the Chaska School District. This is part of the Tuesday Dialogue series at Shepherd of the Hill Church of Chaska, a progressive congregation that teaches Dr. King. The Big Red Rockers out front, 145 Engler Boulevard and Highway 41. I'm your host, Pastor Dean J. Seal. Free and open to the public, co-sponsored by Residents Organized Against Racism and AM 950. Find us on Facebook or at ChaskaChurch.org. Again, that's Tuesday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Be there. Aloha.
That sounds really cool, by the way. That sounds like a very cool event down at the Chaska Church.
By the way, Hunter's interviewing the pastor of that event, who's emceeing it tonight.
Coming up in the next hour?
Yep.
Beautiful. Stay right here on AM 950. As a matter of fact, good opportunity to tell you, tonight we got the debate, the first of the two debates, right?
Indeed we do.
Who's in the lineup tonight?
It's basically everybody but Biden and Harris.
I'm going to take Wayne Gretzky because he's the greatest. Oh, God, was he can't, you can't stop him when he gets going.
I saw Marianne Williamson still in that first debate tonight. Right.
It's just, you got to listen. You've got to listen. We have got it here. What time does it start? 7?
7 o'clock is what they said, yeah.
7 o'clock.
It seems early, but that's what West was telling me. So.
Now they start with Jell-O shots, so you don't know where it's going to go. Damn liberal Democrats. As a Catholic, I approve. You can listen to us tonight. We have, of course, Hunter up next with that interview with the Chaska Church, as well as also coming up tonight, we got the debates right here on AM 950. Just stay with us throughout the day. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week is Great Wall in Edina, 45th and France. Hey, if you want to get some food before you listen in on the debate tonight, by all means, stop on by. Fantastic Szechuan food. Great soups as well. And just everyone in the family will find something on the menu. It's just magnificent. Great Wall. It's 45th and France. EatLocalMinnesota.com, restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. One quick little note to everyone here who's known Brett. You and I have worked with Mike McAtee for many years. They had a little bit of a technical issue, and I'm not sure exactly. It sounds like one of their internet servers or something went down completely.
Yeah, it sounds like their website is down, and they unfortunately need quite a bit of money to get it back up.
Now, if you're not aware with Mike McEntee. Of course, he was on the air with us for many years, and he provides a service in Minnesota which really you can't replace, which is called the uptake. And for lack of a better way to say it, it's basically like a C-SPAN for Minnesota, only it seems to get a lot of much better stuff. C-SPAN gets boring, but my God, I mean, he has captured more news-breaking moments just by having cameras in on these work sessions, debates, and the House floor. He is able to capture this, and the uptake is such an important thing. There is a fundraiser that they've put together. This is on givemn.org. Givemn.org. They're trying to raise the money. They'll get a matching fund if they can if they can get up to a certain level. Go to givemn.org. That's givemn.org. Help save the uptake if you can. It is an important thing that we absolutely need to keep going. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Speaking of politics, so I'll get to the guy that's going against Dean Phillips here in a second. I think Jason Lewis is going for the Senate. So considering he doesn't like to live in the district that he represents, you know, he could be going into the, you know, I think Mary Franson's district would be the Minnesota 7, wouldn't it? That'd be the Colin Peterson.
Yeah, she is a little bit more of a rural legislature, isn't she?
Yeah. She is having a big fundraiser coming up here at the Geneva Golf Course in Alexandria, Thursday, August 8th, 5 p.m. to 7:15.
That sounds real working class.
Working class at the golf course, where there's a suggested donation of $50 per person. Cough it up there, working class. Author, radio host, and always Minnesota's Mr. Right. Jason Lewis is the guy who's going to be joining her for his little pep talk. The reason why this kind of raises a red flag to a point is because clearly he's okay. If he was going to run in two, he'd be running around trying to find ways he could, you know, areas he could take on Angie Craig. But I don't think two is going to go back. I don't think three is going to go back. I think the demographics in those districts have changed, and they're getting pretty decent representation. I mean, not completely agreed with Angie Craig. I've not completely agreed with Dean Phillips, but they're getting decent Democratic representation in those two districts, and I don't think that he could win those districts. So I think he's going to run for Senate. I think he's going to run for the state Senate. I think he's running for Tina Smith's seat. And so he's heading on out there to cultivate the Mary Franson supporters, which, yeah, they're a tolerant bunch. I think she still has me blocked on most of the social media pages. Not because I was trying to. I'd still love to see her tweets. They were magnificent. But it was more of, I hurt her boo-boo feelings. Sorry.
Melted the snowflake.
Snowflakes. I hate the snowflakes. I don't know. Jason, could he win?
Yes.
No. Well, no, okay.
We want him to run, though.
Yeah. All right. If you're a Republican or if you're Jason Lewis, turn off the radio for a second. Or, hey, prayer time, go pray, okay? All right, so go have your prayer time, all right? Prayer, completely, freedom of prayer, still intact in this country, would you believe it or not? All right, so, and now that he's gone, there's no way in the world he could win the state. No, he couldn't. No. I think the demographics, Minneapolis-St. Paul is becoming such a large part of the state voting block. That you would need in my personal opinion, you would need to take every outstate area by 10 to 15 points to completely offset that. And that includes Duluth, which you're not going to take Duluth. That includes Rochester, which you're not going to take Rochester. I mean, St. Cloud, Moorhead, Bemidji, yeah, probably. You're probably going to take those, but you know, your numbers are starting to get to a point where they're so skewed, it's very impossible for you to win unless you can take a large portion of the suburban area. And as we saw in 2016, you know, the 2018, 2016, when a lot of people stayed at home, thank you very much for that. We had the nightmare, but 2018, when you got people activated and people were seeing the craziness that was Trump, that, and by the way, before all this racist crap that he's doing now, I mean, he was doing racist crap before, but right now it's, he's brought a bullhorn to the KKK rally. Where you're at now, I don't see a lot of people in Minnetonka saying, you know what? Yeah, I was sure wrong about the Republicans. I'm going to vote against the Democrats. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening in Maple Grove necessarily. I don't see that happening in Plymouth. I don't see that happening in Woodbury. I don't see that happening in Invergrove Heights. I don't see it happening in Lakeville to a point. I don't. I just don't. I don't see a, you know, you've got the biggest racist since Andrew Jackson as president of the United States. And he might be outdoing Jackson, although Jackson, you know, Trail of Tears and all the crap that he pulled off. It's hard to compare. But the reality is he is one of the worst individuals, and he only seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And you're going to have Trump on to have to wrestle with. You're going to have your own record, because I guarantee you this, Jason, if he tries to basically, you know, bury his radio show and all the horrific comments he made in a Minnesota second race, you're not going to be able to get away with that in a statewide race. You're going to have to address all the comments that you have made. I just don't see how, you know, he wins right now. As a matter of fact, I can be honest with you. Outside of, do you know which Republican I think could win? The guy that's just retiring from the Senate. The guy out in Watertown. The guy that, when you forced him to take that insanely stupid stance on the Emergency Insulin Act, decided to resign and retire as opposed to run again for office. There is a guy that actually seemed to have somewhat common sense left, but Gazelka? No. Doubt? No. Jason Lewis? No. Mary Franson? No. You know, guys like Drazkowski and Gruenhagen, they got no chance at all. My God, I mean, they can't, those guys are so extremist and so pandering to the white extremists of the extreme far right of this country. I think that they're just too offensive for even outlying metro area districts. So, I don't think he's got a chance. Now, amen. All right, Jason, you come on back to the show here. All right, there you go. Boy, oh boy, Brett, I am sure scared to death of Jason Lewis. If he was to run, I think, oh boy, us Dems are in trouble. Whew, hopefully we dodge that bullet. Greg is in St. Paul. Let's get him in here before we go to break. Welcome on in, Greg.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
All right, my friend.
Hey, this dates back to the Bill Clinton impeachment frenzy. Jason Lewis was on the radio with his show, and naturally, you know how he came down there. But he had T-shirts printed up that said, "At least Richard Nixon resigned." And I was wondering, we should maybe call up Jason Lewis's office and see if he's got any of those T-shirts around. We could, because I think Trump should go ahead and resign. You know,
first of all, let's remind everyone this. When it comes to, and Greg, thank you very much. When it comes to the Republican primary, every Republican is going to be, "I love Donald Trump. I love him. I think he's great." And then they're going to spend every day from that moment on trying to I didn't really disagree with all this stuff. There's going to be a lot of events where they are going to try their hardest to limit any cell phone footage or camera footage or audio from that event from coming on out. Because that's the last thing they need to do is get any statewide race person who's saying, here you are, we got you at this fundraiser for this candidate where you're basically saying you 100% agree with all the racist comments of Donald Trump. Do you still agree with that? Because, you know, then they're in that catch-22. They need the white supremacists to vote for them. But do they come on out there and say, "I completely and totally disagree with the president," or do they say, "Hey, look, cab, run away"? I think that's more on that level. We'll take a break. Come on back. Dean Phillips has got a challenger. I'll talk about him when we do on comeback. And we'll take Gary in Minneapolis, your call as well. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law in St. Paul, and I am passionate about providing legal services in the areas of estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve, with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit SchromanLaw.com. That's SchromenLaw.com.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetimes. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association and Powderhorn Park are thrilled to invite you to the Powderhorn Art Fair. Shop hundreds of local and regional artists on serene Powderhorn Lake. Taste foods from local food trucks and enjoy exploring the Powderhorn community. Considered the best regionally juried art fair for nearly three decades, it takes place right in South Minneapolis in picture-perfect Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. Join the fun from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The success of the art fair comes from Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association's long-standing collaboration with the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board, and a portion of the proceeds support youth programming at Powderhorn Park. There'll be over 200 artists, 20 food trucks, and great fun at Powderhorn Park. The Powderhorn Park Art Fair begins Saturday, August 3rd and runs through Sunday, August 4th. For more information on the art fair, go to ppna.org. That's ppna.org.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. Gary is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Gare Bear.
Yeah, I get kind of tired of being called to the left. You know, left are people that don't believe in the system, and sometimes I feel that way, but we have up and down politics, not left and right. And all we have is the upper crust of billionaires running our country. And now we got this, parts of the Democratic Party want to go back to what Roosevelt started, to build that middle class, build it up so working people can make a decent living. And Congresswoman Cortez basically said, that's what we want. We want a new deal, and one that is inclusive. We had the rights revolution. Roosevelt had to contend with them Dixiecrats or them Boll Weevils to leave out minority races and others. Now we want to include everybody and get back not just new health care, Medicare, and not just a new Green Deal, but a new middle class, a new economic livelihood.
And Gary, thank you very much. No, it's the government works when you allow it to work. I mean, should there be oversight? Sure. And if there's wasteful government spending, there should be accountability for that. But you don't just go kill. If the baby's got a cold, you don't go kill it. You know what I mean? And that's the Republican standard, is that, you know, well, there was $20 in fraud in this department. We'll wipe out the entire department. We don't need it anymore. Get rid of it and give all that taxpayer money back to the wealthy people. That's Republicans today. And the reality is a lot of programs work. And by the way, FDR should be mentioned that through government programs, he saved the country as we got through the Great Depression. And it was when he caved to the Republicans that the economy started to sputter again. And then, of course, you know, granted, World War II did help out quite a bit as far as, it, you know, stimulating the economy, you know, with a, you know, you get a country that's on a war footing, your industry gets going pretty fast. But that being said, the country was well into the recovery mode because of Democratic policies. And every time he tried to concede something to the Republicans, the economy got worse. So 952-946-6205. Republican medical technology executive Kendall Qualls on Monday launched a congressional bid to unseat first-term Democratic Representative Dean Phillips in a swing suburban district. The Medina resident is an executive vice president with Potential Metrics, an Austin, Texas-based data analytics company that he has described as a disruptive startup company empowering patients with cancer. If he wins, Qualls would become Minnesota's first Black GOP member of Congress. He says he voted for Donald Trump in 2016 and would vote again for his reelection. Wow, really? Really? after all he said in the last few weeks? Really? Wow. Quell says, Phillips has not brought the change to Washington he promised when he challenged five-term Republican Eric Paulson for the 3rd District seat, stating with his vote to reinstate Democrat Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. Oh, that's once again, Nancy Pelosi. You know, one of the most moderate Democrats in the Congress. Yes, she's this liberal. Yes, that's right. Good luck with that. If you're going to go to Washington and be part of the club, then the status quo, that's not what I believe the voters voted for. Okay. If you're going to go to Washington, D.C. to be part of the status quo, that's not what the voters voted for. Meanwhile, I love Donald Trump. Trump is the greatest guy. Send me there so I can do exactly what he wants me to do. That's not the status quo. That's independent thought. What does Grand King Trump tell me what to do next? All right. Good luck with that. Phillips, a wealthy businessman and philanthropist, thanks to his family's liquor company, capitalized in 2018 in suburban position to Trump to defeat Paulson. Paulson tried hard to distance himself from Trump, skipping 2 Minnesota rallies with the president. But when Trump tweeted his strong endorsement of Paulson, Phillips said it showed that Paulson was a phony moderate. Once he got to Washington, and they're all phony moderates. They're all phony moderates. Once he got to Washington, Phillips joined the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Congress. He traveled twice to the U.S.-Mexico border to see facilities and conditions for migrants and search for solutions that lawmakers from both parties could support. He sided against some of the fellow Democrats, including Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar, in pushing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to drop liberal demands and approve more modest Senate version on the border. Like I said, there's some things about Dean Phillips I've not been happy with. But that being said, I'm overall pretty satisfied with him. He's also been criticized from the left for opposing Trump's impeachment. That one, how many crimes does the guy have to make? How many laws does he have to break before you finally say enough? Phillips raised nearly $370,000 in the first half of 2019. He has just over $174,000 in cash left on hand with debts of nearly $306,000, mostly to himself. In a statement, the Phillips campaign, here's the one that's really interesting. He welcomed Qualls to Minnesota and to the race. Now, this goes back to when you're describing Qualls' background, he's the executive vice president for an Austin, Texas-based analytics company. All right. I understand commuting from home and being able to do things through a screen and stuff like that, but if you're the executive vice president, you're down at the corporate office. So I'm presuming the implication here is, and I'll see if I can track this down, that Qualls just recently moved to Minnesota possibly to run for this office. We have to figure that out. The fact that very straightforward, Phillips said to him, hey, welcome to Minnesota and to the race, leads me to believe that he's not been in Minnesota for very long. Which, you know, and once again, they have to have a primary on the Republican side. You're going to primary this guy, you know, probably. It's not necessarily this guy is going to be the final candidate. But that seems to be something that's going on across the country quite a bit. There's a lot of Republicans who are running who seem to have moved to the district that they're trying to win in the last few months so that they can prep themselves for next year. So I'm going to check out when Qualls exactly moved to Minnesota. And does he have any other connection to Minnesota outside? Sounds like he worked with some companies up here, but that's about it. Yeah, more to be seen on this. It's a long ways to go, but remember, vote blue. For God's sakes, vote blue. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.